But I have jealousy in my heart, and I want you all to know that. I'm jealous of a number of different people around here, and you'll need to put me on your prayer list, I'm quite sure. I even have it literated for you if you'd like. Brother Johnson, I don't know you well enough to include you in with this bunch. I'm sorry that I don't, but I'm not jealous of you just yet. I'm going to be before it's over with, I'm quite sure. I'm jealous of Brother Joe. Where's Brother Ortega? Is he not here? No, there you are. Jealous of Brother Joe's humor. He's a very humorous individual. In case you didn't know that, I'm jealous of his humor. I'm jealous of Brother Pat's height. That's pretty well self-explanatory. I don't need to go any further. I'm jealous of Brother Joe Maldonado's handsomeness. I don't know how you got the pastor not being Hollywood. I really don't. It's beyond me. And then finally, last but not least, I'm jealous of Brother Wayne's hair. So if I had all four of those mixed in with me, I might be somebody someday down the road. Just kidding you guys, and you know it. Brother Johnson, I'm quite sure I'll find an H to go with you before the night's out. So hopefully that'll happen. Exodus chapter 33. And I want to read you a couple of verses here, if you will let me, please. Let's begin reading in verse number 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken for. Thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. That'll make every backslid Hindu in America shout right there. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. My Heavenly Father, as we bow humbly in your presence this evening, I want to thank you for the privilege of being right here, right now. Lord, I ask you that just as Moses besought your presence, I pray tonight that you'd be pleased to smile on your children one more time. I ask you that you'd speak to our hearts, take the words that are said tonight. I pray that you'll anoint the preaching, anoint the singing, everything that's done here tonight will be done for your glory and for your honor. You'll help us to do your perfect work and will in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on this particular subject. There's about 44 that I counted already that you could preach out of that one little passage of Scripture right there. But I want to speak to you on the subject, God has a place for you. Now, without going into too much detail, because I know that we're all here and we're all theologians and we all know that theologically that place is Christ, that rock that was Moses was in was Christ, and I'm not going to expound on that in too much detail. In fact, I'm not going to mention much more than what I just said so that we can go on with the message and get to where I want to get. But understand that I'm speaking to those that are in Christ, those who are in the rock, and if you're not, there's a place there for you, Lord willing. And God, in His own mercy, God in His own grace, as He said right here, will show mercy to whom He's going to, and those who He's not, it's God's business, not ours. It's our job to take the gospel to the world and preach to them, and let God take care of the rest of that. And so let me just say, as an introduction, that I'm well aware, theologically, where we're talking about. Moses here was in a physical rock, but it was a type or a pattern of Jesus Christ, who was that rock, as Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, Christ was that rock. Having said that, let me mention to you today, if I can, very quickly, just three things. There are many more I could mention, but I want to just mention three things right fast about this place that God has for you. First of all, when you get in your place, and while I'm there, let me say this. I could not pastor at this point in the game Hilburn Drive Grace Baptist Church, because that's the place that God has Brother Joe Maldonado. I could not pastor wherever the rest of you fellows pastor at this point in the game, because that's where God has you. He has a place for you. And I'm glad that God has a place zeroed in and picked out just for me. And God has a place zeroed in and picked out just for each and every one of you, not just preachers, but everyone who's a child of God. God has a place for you to worship and to minister and to do His bidding and His business according to His perfect plan and perfect will. When you are in that place, in my opinion, you are under an umbrella that only God Almighty can give you. When you are in the place that God has for you, Moses got to see some things, and we'll deal with those momentarily. Moses got to see some things that you and I never will get to see while upon this earth, because that was the place God had for him. Had Moses not been in that particular place, he wouldn't have seen it. But he was, and we're not going to get into speculation and theological semantics on that. We're admitting that he was there. Had he not been, he wouldn't have seen it. When we're in the spot that God has for us, when we're in our place that God has for us, I believe that we're under an umbrella. I believe we're under God's sovereign protection. And I believe that God has things in that place that only you and God may know about. Paul one time said, I would love to tell you of all the things God's done for me, but I can't right now. Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course. He said, I'd love to tell you about the third heaven, the second, and all the rest of them in between and everything that went on, but I can't tell you about it right now. God won't let me. That's basically what he said. And so every now and then there are things that will come our way, things that will happen to us when we're in our place that only you and God know about. What an intimate thing, what an intimate knowledge that is to have that only you and God know about a particular thing. See, Moses came off and wrote it in the holy canon, put it in the Bible, and everybody from then on knew about it. But only Moses knew, only he knew that intimacy between he and God in that particular place. Moses is no better or no worse than you and I. God has a place for every one of us, and only you know that particular intimacy of that thing that you and God have together between you. There are three things I want to mention to you this evening about the place that God has for you. First of all, when you're in that place, I believe you'll be empowered with strength. Samson had a place, and God had put him there. And Samson, by his own sin, removed himself from there. And time will fail us to go into details tonight. But let me just say to you that Samson, because of what he had done, removed himself from there. But at the end, Samson said, Oh God, restore to me one more time my strength. Just one more time. Let me die with the Philistines. They've made sport of me, they've mocked me, and I fully admit it's my fault and I deserve to be where I am. But for the glory of the kingdom of Israel and God Almighty, let me one more time restore to me, put me back in my place one more time. And God laid him in there, and a little boy came and led him to the pillars. And the Bible tells us that Samson slew more in his death than he did in his lifetime. Samson was a mighty warrior, a very mighty warrior. But he slew more at his death than he did in his lifetime, because he was in the place where God put him. May I say to you this? Samson was strong. He was supernaturally strong. You will not be that way apart from God giving you that strength, and it's very unlikely that He'll do that. But God can give you strength that only God can give you to take you through a situation or an instance that only God knows about when you're there. Let me tell you a little story. In my church, I pastored for nearly 18 years prior to going back into evangelism. And one of the first, in fact, the first family that ever joined had a young man in it. It was about 8 years old at the time. That young man's still a member of that church. I'm still good friends with the people in that church, by the way. I still preach for them, sing for them. That church supported me fully while I was in evangelism. I did not leave mad at them. I did not have any problems. It was just simply the will of God, and I just want you to know that. That young man grew up and has stayed in church. As far as I know, he's never been out of church at all. He got married a few years ago, and he and his wife tried to have a family that God wouldn't give them children, so they adopted a little girl. The little girl's now about 4 years old, somewhere around there. Just a few months back, about 8 months ago, his wife got pregnant. She had that little boy on Friday evening. No, excuse me, on Saturday evening. He was 4 weeks premature. You have to understand, the young man that I'm talking about was well-rounded. His wife had some problems, and I don't mean that ugly. She had some emotional issues. If she stumped her toe right well, she went to the emergency room, and I'm telling you the facts. You would just have to know, and you'll see what I'm saying to you in a minute. I'm not bashing her, I'm making a point. That little boy was born 4 weeks premature. He did not have the vein that went from his lungs to his heart. They did two surgeries on him to no avail, had him on life support. The doctor finally came in and said, you can leave him there for 2 weeks max, but I'm telling you right now, the little fellow's not going to make it. And they pulled him off. He lived 2 days, pulled him off of life support, and he died. We had his funeral on Tuesday. And buddy, if I've ever seen the grace of God Almighty, I saw it on Tuesday at that little baby's funeral. We're talking about a young lady now that, honest to God, could not sneeze without having to go to the doctor. And I'm telling you the truth. I knew that because of what had just happened, she was probably going to wind up in an insane asylum. I mean, she was probably going to flip out and absolutely lose it. She was unstable emotionally as it was. I put some comments on my Facebook page about pray for the family. She broke in about comment number 30 and began to sound like an absolute theologian. I thought someone else had written it for her. Until I got to the funeral. They had a memorial service, and her and her husband got up and were speaking about what God had done for them. Folks, I'm talking about what happens to you when you're in the place God puts you and the strength that God can give you. And she said, I know that many of you know that I've had emotional issues in the past. I didn't know she had a vocabulary like that. Honestly, I didn't. She said, I'm well aware that many of you know that my emotional trials and issues that I've had in the past. But I want to tell you this much, that God, and I don't understand it. I'm speaking verbatim almost. She said, I don't understand it, but God has given us a peace that I cannot understand and figure out. I talked to her husband, the young man I was talking about, the night it happened. I called him and I said, listen, buddy, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, I really am. He said, Brother Don, I can't explain this to you, but God has given us a peace that we don't even know about right now. That young lady that stumped her toe and had to go to the emergency room was standing there before the casket of her flesh and blood, her two-day-old baby, beaming as if Moses himself had just come off the mount and had the law of God. But she had been with God, and God had given her strength to get through that. And I want you to know, those around her were coming to her to comfort her and leaving there shouting, kind of like that woman that went to the well to get a drink and left there with the well instead of a bucket of water. We went there to help her and left there with the well from what God had done with her. I'm telling you, God knows how to give strength when you're in your place. I've never seen dying grace. I've seen it, but I've never seen it that dramatic until this week. And so God knows how to give you strength when you need it. Only God can do that. This Bible right here tells us that the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Why is that? Because in your place where God has put you, what would make a normal, natural man stand up and say some of the things that some of the pastors that are in this building have the courage to stand up and say? I'll tell you what it is. It's the empowerment and the strength of God Almighty Himself that has given you the grace to go forward in the work that you have for you. Because you're in your place. You try that in the flesh, somebody will knock you out. But in the place God has for you, He'll give you strength and He'll give you grace. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. In Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, verse number 4, you don't need to turn there, but a very familiar verse. The bride says of the groom, His banner over me is love. That word banner literally means ensign or sign, a flag. Back in the days of Christ, even before, when emperors and leaders would go in to capture a village or a city or a town, they would print their name on their flag, and their troops would carry that flag into that city that was to be doomed and burnt. Letting them know, letting their army know who they were fighting under, and letting the others know who was coming after them. And here our bride says, His banner over me is love. Here we are fighting this thing called spiritual warfare. And every now and again, not every day, but every now and again, God Almighty will run the flag up and let us see the love of God that's over us and give us the strength that we need to march on for the glory of God. And do what needs to be done in San Antonio or Santa Ana or Mustang or wherever you are you're from. God Almighty will run that flag up from time to time and do that. May I remind you of an incident that happened on February the 23rd, 10:20 a.m. in the morning, 1945. Five Marines and one corpsman. You know where I'm going with this? On a little mount called Mount Sarabachi in Iwo Jima, the most famous picture of all. You know what took those soldiers from a dead, dried up, I mean, they were beat down. They had no strength. They could not go anymore. But those five boys and that one corpsman run old glory up. And honey, they went to get that. That'd make you join the army if you got any kind of patriotism in you at all. And that's exactly what God Almighty does to us every now and then. He'll run that banner over us, which is love, up over our heads and let us see that thing. Thank God we'll march home with the strength that God and only God can give us. Not only will we be empowered with strength, we'll enjoy our service. And many, many things I could say here. Let me just condense them to a couple. Joseph was not very well liked by his brethren. Joseph was sold into slavery at the age of 17 years old. Joseph was in a very bad situation, wrongfully accused, indicted, convicted, imprisoned falsely. 13 years of his life. And can you imagine while Joseph is thinking to himself, is this what it is to be in the army of God? Is this all there is to the army of God? Job, who had it made, if you want to use that term, in his early life. And the devil, and we all know the story, how the devil goes before God, and God offers him up, and he tells him, go ahead, but save his life. And the devil takes all of his children, takes his finances, his family, his friends, all of it, takes them all away from him. Job's wife even said, why don't you just curse God and die? Job made an amazing statement in chapter 2, and I believe it's verse number 10, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? I want to tell you something. There are going to be times, and do not let some silver-tongued pastor somewhere tell you that if you'll just come to Jesus, everything will be just wonderful. I'm going to tell you what. Many things are going to be wonderful, and even the bad days will be better than what they were. But there are going to be some times, and the Word of God is perfectly clear about it. Joseph was not having a good time in prison. We're not talking about a young man that had committed a crime and was worthy to be there because of what he'd done. We're talking about a young man that was wrongfully accused. Joseph did not say, I can't do this because I'll lose my job. He said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? He knew what was at stake. And a severe temptation to that young man. He said, I can't do that. Joseph was not enjoying himself. There will be times, you listen to me, when you're not going to enjoy the place God has for you. But may we never forget chapter 42 of the book of Job. When God gave him twice what he had and gave him back his children and let him live a long and healthy life and saw his sons and his sons even four generations God let him see and experience. Can you imagine that? When Joseph had those problems as well. Now here it is, years down the road, after at least 13 years of a very bad experience. Now down the road, Joseph has some children. Amazing thing happens here. But when God showed me this, I don't care if I am a Baptist, I shouted. Joseph had some young'uns down the road. He had one named Ephraim. He had one named Manasseh. Do you have any idea what those two words mean? Ephraim means fruitful. And Manasseh means forgetful. He said, because God hath made me forget my toil and my problems. Hey, Joseph was so busy now running the kingdom and enjoying the things that God had for him. He didn't have time to suck and moan and mull about what went on last year. You don't find Joseph complaining about being chunked in prison. He's forgot about it and God made him fruitful. And when we get in the place where God wants you to be, when we get under that, in that little hole in that rock where Moses was, and if time would not fail us, we could go into that a little bit. We get in that spot, which is Jesus. You may and you will endure some problems. You'll have some toil. But thank God there'll come a time when you'll kick back and say, isn't this thing just wonderful? Now, there have been some times in my ministry where I literally, and I'm not being ugly, but I literally wanted to quit. If it had been up to me, I probably would have. If you haven't gotten there yet, you're more spiritual than I. That's all I can say. And maybe you haven't, and I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm saying where I've been. I can't answer where you've been. I just know where I've been in some spots, buddy, where I just didn't want to do it anymore. And then God run that flag up. I get to see in the picture of spiritual Iwo Jima. I want to re-enlist. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, by the grace of God, I've never walked off of it. I've never quit. I'm not down on you if you have. I don't know anybody here that has, so I'm not shooting at you. I'm not down on you. It's nothing but the good grace of God that's kept me in the traces this long. But I'm going to tell you what. Every now and then, God will run her up and I'll see it and I'll salute that spiritual flag and give the strength that we need to keep going on for the grace of God. Hallelujah. We have recess right here and just shout for about 30 minutes. I'm through. One more thing I'll tell you and I'm done. Not only will we be endued with power, we'll enjoy the service. We'll experience the supernatural. There are at least three miracles that Moses experienced. At least three. Probably more. And matter of fact, I'm almost positive there are more. There are at least three that I want to enumerate for you right now. First of all, Moses had killed an Egyptian and had been exiled for 40 years, and he was keeping his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert. That's usually where we wind up. But even there, God works, as you'll soon see. Moses was back on the backside of the desert where there was no one or no thing. And all of a sudden, he sees a bush burning and it doesn't go out. And he says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is burning. That's where God called him to the place of his ministry. I can say this firmly, and I believe I can say it for every one of you God called preachers in this auditorium tonight. There is a spot where you can go and put your finger on where God had a burning bush for you and called you into the ministry. I can take you within 10 feet of the place And I was driving down the highway at the time. And I can take you to within 10 feet of the spot where God called me. That was my burning bush experience. Moses saw that miracle of that burning bush. More we could say, I need to go on about that. Secondly, 40 years later, on the very same mount, God has Moses up on that mountain giving him the law. The spiritual law. Now, here's the other miracle, or another of the miracles might be a better term. Moses, the Bible says, twice was in that mount 40 days and 40 nights without any food and without any water. I'm going to remind you that's medically impossible. Hippocrates, you ever heard of the Hippocratic Oath? Not the hypocritical oath, but the Hippocratic Oath. Hippocrates, that great physician, said years and years ago, obviously, centuries ago, that a man could only live 7 days without food. We have since come to realize he was wrong. There were some war prisoners that lived 28 to 40 days, depending on how the shape they were in, with no food. 10 political prisoners in Ireland lived 46 to 73 days before succumbing to the lack of food. So it's possible to go that length of time, depending on what you are and how much stored up reserve you might have before you go into that. Didn't I do good on that? But according to modern science, you can only live, depending on your shape and the climate, at 70 degrees and below, you can only live 8 to 14 days without a drink of water. You will dry up and blow away. You will drop dead. Moses twice was on the mount, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible's clear that says he had no food or no water. The third miracle, or another miracle, is Moses, as we read, got to see God while he was in that spot. If you get in the spot where God wants you to be, from time to time, God's going to show up. From time to time, it may be when you expect Him. It may be when you don't expect Him. But from time to time, the God that I serve will show up and let you know that He's there and He's real. And that's a supernatural event when it happens. I'm not talking about... I was in a meeting in Florida one time. And God was really blessing this thing. Large church. And when you get... the audience begins to get over a couple hundred, you know, sometimes you can draw in some of those that, well, let me just go on and say what I wanted to say. People were testifying about how good God was, and this one lady stood up, and there's about 1,000 in the building there that night, and she stood up and said, I was meditating one day upon a rock, and my daddy appeared to me out of nowhere. The pastor of the church very wisely stood up and told his song leader, said, start singing. The song leader said, now he said, sing. And they sang the woman down, and they should have. Let me tell you this much. I realize we're in San Antonio, and I know to whom I'm speaking. But if you saw your daddy on the rock, you probably had too much guacamole the night before. I'm not talking about some crazy thing. Now, let me rephrase this and tell you this. God can do anything He wants. If God wanted to send His daddy to you, your daddy, He could do that. He could. We're talking about things within the realm that we don't understand sometimes. God will show you. You will experience the supernatural. Moses did. He experienced the supernatural. I've seen people that could not get out of bed in the morning. They were so emotionally distraught, as I mentioned a little bit ago about that young lady, become absolute warriors for Christ. I've seen people that could not hold their head up. This is a fact. They could not hold their head up in public, let alone speak publicly, become masters of the pulpit when God did something in their heart because they're in the place they needed to be in. I've seen God work financial, marital, physical, emotional, and any other kind of miracle you can work. When you are in your place, I've seen God do those things. I've seen this just very recently. I've seen God provide him a temple for his people and a people for his temple. I've seen God do that. I've seen God do things in my life that you would not believe. And if I would get down and let you up here, you could tell us the same thing, how that God has supernaturally done some things in your life. Brother Wayne, you don't know this, but years ago, probably 30, maybe 28, 27 years ago, I was at your daddy's church. And I didn't have enough money to get home on, to speak of, let alone anything after that. And I had just gone into full time. Matter of fact, that was my first meeting, was at his church, one of his camp meetings. And I was walking out the door, and I said, "Brother Dub, I appreciate you letting me be here and all that." He said, "Wait a minute." I saw the light bulb go off. And I know what it was. Now, I didn't then. He came back a few minutes later and handed me a check. The check wasn't a large amount of money, but it wouldn't have mattered to me if it had been a penny. I knew right then, God said, "Here you go, boy. Here you go." I've been handed a lot larger sums of money, but they didn't do for me what that one thing did for me, because God was simply saying, "I will take care of you." Supernatural things happen to us when we're in our place. Let me close by saying this. I said a moment ago that we all realize and we all are aware that that rock spiritually is Christ. God's not interested in how good you are. God's not interested in your abilities. God's not interested in how much money you have. God is interested in knowing, or God knows, but God's interested in your placement. Where are you? Are you in that rock? I realize this is a Bible conference, and in all probability, everybody here has probably made a profession of faith. But can I just pose this question to you? Do you know for a fact that you've been, that you are in that rock? That rock is Christ. Now let me say this to you. Don't come to Jesus for Him to make your life better. Don't come to Jesus to make you wealthy. Don't come to Jesus with the intention of Him becoming your banker. Don't come to Jesus with the intention of Him doing something for you other than this one thing right here. You come to Jesus because you recognize and realize that you're a sinner, and without God you're lost and doomed to hell. And your only hope is in that rock that Jesus has. And then God will empower you with strength. Then God will make you to enjoy your service. And then God Almighty will show you the supernatural like you've never seen in your life before when you're in the rock. Brother.